Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
Well, I didn't get a little bit. Somebody happy today?
Yeah.
Two, three, y'all are. That's pretty good. That's better than what the first time. Happy Father's Day from our church to you guys. Got a little mix up on our Father's Day gifts here at our church today. One is coming. That's great news, right? So it's just about all happy to all of us today. Main thing is we're here to celebrate our Heavenly Father. Amen. Listen, I love Father's Day. I'm blessed to have two children. I know you guys. And listen, I know Father's Day has a, and I alluded to it a little bit in our message this morning. I know a lot of guys that were father figures to me as growing up, especially in the ministry, that didn't have children. And to me, they're fathers at heart. And anybody know anybody like that? That never had a physical child. You know, they were fathers. I've seen ways of others also that have those mother hearts that never had children. And listen, to me, that is a very valuable thing for the kingdom. I believe God puts people, guys and ladies in our lives that do that in an amazing way. And I'm a product of that. I'll lead you to the late Mr. Alvin Huntley. I don't know if you guys know him. At Leoma, he was a very loving guy. Him and Bobby didn't have any children, but you would never need that by hanging out with them because they loved everybody and treated them with the utmost respect. And I know you guys have got stories like that also. So it is good to see you in God's house this morning. Happy Father's Day to you guys. We're here to celebrate Jesus today. We're going to sing to him. Thank you for my daughter, Mr. Ricky. Nothing happens. He's been on like a sabbatical. But check this out again. He left us for a couple weeks now. Very deserving time off, and him and his family spent some time together. Thank you last week for Jacob and my two children for filling in. And obviously, Shelby has agreed or honored for this morning, too. I don't know. Either way, we're going to celebrate. We're going to sing to Jesus this morning. Amen. My wife and my other child is away from me this morning. They're in another place. We're a house divided today for a little while. We look forward to this season. We'll be back together to celebrate Father's Day together as a family. But this morning, guys, as always, I've got some announcements in the service I'm going to make, but I just want to be excited about tell you about this. And in July 19th through the 21st, we're going to do VBS here. Amen? Yeah. We did that a few years ago when COVID hit, so we didn't get to have it last year, so now we're geared back up to do that again. So we'll be some signs coming later on that, so that's exciting. He's for us thankful for the ones that went to the other church and to get the material. If you go to that church, you need like a bus to bring it all back. I know how Sarah they felt because their kids didn't have anywhere to sit. We had all kind of things stacked around, which if we would have had it, it would have been very comfortable because, it wasn't bent on the ground. So say that to say this, guys. Glad to have you here today. Here in just a moment, we're going to stand. We're going to sing the worship song together. And after the first song, you guys can sit down this morning. But we just want to worship the King today and allow him to have our time this morning. This is the Lord's Day. This is when we kind of give our time to him and we fellowship and corporate worship together here today. So let's pray with me this morning and we'll ask God to just be with us here today. Father, we thank you for this opportunity today. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the nail-scarred hand. Father, I thank you for being that Heavenly Father that's always there 24-7. Father, there's never a moment of time that we can't call on you. Father, you're too busy not to listen. So today, Father, as we celebrate Father's Day 2021, we want to thank our Heavenly Father that made this day possible for us. Father, I ask you to bless all the guys, all the dads and the dads at heart here today, Father, and across this nation who love Jesus and who love their kids, love their grandkids. But today, Father, we come in this place. Father, let us focus on you. Let us leave this place recharged and energized about a God that is alive, that's not dead, not wondering what's going to happen next, but, Father, that it knows the plan he has for all of us. Father, reveal that to us today. Allow us to see you. Be with Shelby as she sings today. Father, we just pray that you'll keep strengthening her, Lord, and just shine the light that you put inside of her. Now this morning, Father, let us see clearly what you have for each and every one of us here today. Father, let us take that outside the walls of this church. Father, be the children you've called us to be. Father, it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, let's stand together this morning. Thank you.
That you will take my place. worn and weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? Cause shame's done all it's stealing. Are you desperate for some healing? Let me tell you about Jesus. Makes a way.
I'm so glad you're alive. So So this morning, Lord, as we go through this Psalms chapter 1 this morning, Father, I pray that you open our eyes, not only the fathers in this place, but just us in general and people in general, see the things that you have spoken for us to take in part and part in our lives and stir us up. So Father, today, Father, thank you for people who can see. I thank you, people who can teach Sunday school and be leaders of churches, but Father, most of all, I thank you for being our Heavenly Father. And Father, it lifted us up so many times that we didn't even know. So Father, today, as we go through this, speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, we love you in this place today. We thank you for being an awesome God. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you once again for being here. Grab your Bibles. Look with me in Psalms chapter 1. Thank you, Shelby, for sharing your talents with us this morning. I can't sing a lick, so I thank God seen fit to give it all to my kids. And you know what? I'm okay with that. So I am so talented. They're so graciously to fill in with Mr. Ricky Kent through here. I've never worked with them. I just kind of give them some songs and they take off with it. That's, to me, it's a God-given talent. And I think the story there is not regular to kids. It's just I think you all have a talent to glorify God. It's my point this morning. Whether that's singing, whether that's serving in the church, all of us have a God-given talent. And at the end of the day, I know our people here, if you visit with us today, you'll know that I use this a lot. And I think somebody will hit with a hymn one day. The way we do ministry is up to us. God gives us the gifts, the talents to do. But at the end of the day, whether it gets done, it's kind of up to us. I can take the trash out of my house and bag it up. If I don't pick it up and put it in the truck, carry it off, guess where it's still going to be at? And that's kind of our life. God gives us all these things for us to do. But at the end of the day, we got to choose to do it or not do it. So this morning, that's not the message here today, but that's just something that's free. I won't charge you a bit for that at the end. But this morning, in Psalms chapter 1, this is Father's Day. It's a day that we celebrate dads. And you know, I've alluded to that, and I said, thank you for that. My dad's here this morning. I'm thankful for that. I had a dad that taught us the value of life growing up. Somebody said, did you ever get woman's own life? And I'll say this, not enough. I got plenty. And everybody says, you know, and I didn't get enough because, you know, my dad steered us in the way we needed to go. And I don't know that that's happening all in society today like it used to. The way the discipline and things was, and we talked about that at a conference I went this week. Just the different way that people act and react to things today is different. But listen, it worked for me. That's what I tell everybody. It says, you know, it's a broken. No, it worked for me. I mean, the way I got raised up, it worked for me. It got me in the direction I needed to go, and I'm thankful for that. I had parents that cared for me, loved for me, didn't care to spank me and discipline me. And I'm not promoting all that today. I'm just saying, in a way today, your kids are going to go the way you raise them. And that's just a fact of life. I'm a school resource officer. I see it every day as I work in the schools. And so it's just the way it goes. And I'm glad I had a father. And listen, I alluded to this guy earlier. Alvin Huntley was a guy at Leona when I was a student pastor who never had kids. But when we were doing something for the youth, Alvin was like, hey, what do you need? You know, he wanted to be that guy. And Betty and Clarence Smith was another group of people who were like, hey, what do I need to do to help these kids? And their famous thing was they're not the next generation church. They would tell me that they see the youngsters for the churches today. And they wanted to be involved in that. They were the guys that always wanted to help out any way they could in that ministry. Now, Alvin would tell you he wasn't going on no youth trip with you. He'd be quick to tell you that. He'd get you what you needed to get you there. But that's the heart of people that poured into me and made an impact on me. I'm blessed to have two children God allowed me to have. But just what I'm going to ask you along with that, the children you have in your life and the children you have taught in your life, are you being that godly father figure in their life? Are you being that example of one day and that one day when they choose, if it's girls, they choose that guy, are they looking for those characteristics as me as a dad in their life? And I told Shelby this, she's out of the room now, but she said, you know, I want somebody kind of like you. I said, that would be a big mistake. And she said, no, Dad, I think you work hard. I said, listen, I want you to have who God wants you to have. But as I get to thinking about that, church, you think about the reality of the characteristics of what our kids see every day. You think about that. And not only kids, but grandkids, they see us how we react to situations. They see how we do things, and guess what? They're picturing what they are going to be doing with it. They see the characteristics of what happens in people's lives. And I like to say this morning, as a pastor, I said, every boy, I knock it out of the park all the time. My kids see every good thing I do, right? But is that true in any of our lives? We all have moments sometimes that we don't necessarily be that good example and things like that. And listen, as godly father, listen, here's the thing that I've come to this week as I was at conference, probably supposed to be paying attention, but I read a lot of scripture. And it says, and this is what I come to this week. Listen, guys, we don't have to be just fathers. We can be godly fathers. We can be those examples of, that our kids and grandkids say, listen, I want to be like Bobo, man. He loves grandma and takes care of him. He's there through in and out. He's a big supporter and all that. See, we can be that person. See, today, guys, we can be that godly father that pours in people's lives. So let's look at three things in the book of Psalms this morning. And I pray we already do these things. I pray that as Christians and believers that we're striving for being good examples everywhere we go and how we do things. I've spent a week at a law enforcement conference, and if you've ever been in law enforcement, it's different than any conference you'll ever go to. And some of these people in law enforcement, they're shaking their head because, listen, that is one of the hardest professions that you'll ever be in as a business leader. And it's challenging. And because of what all these guys and ladies see and what they deal with every day of their lives, listen, you know, and I being the pastor, especially at our department, you know, and now over, we've been staying at Pigeon Forest for a while, the people at the hotel, we've stayed there so many times, they're like, hey, there comes the preacher, you know, you get that. You get that tagline all the time, but I'm okay with that. Listen, we were talking about this morning, we talked about hanging out with sinners. Listen, I'm not saying they're sinners. Everybody's a sinner, right? Everybody says hanging out with sinners. I'm like, well, dude, if you hang out with your family, they're sinners. They're like, uh-oh. I'm like, excuse me, have you ever read your Bible? Right? The Bible says we're all sinners in need of love. If it wasn't in the, that's true, it's in the Bible. But no, man, we go to church, man. We there three times a week. We're not sinners. I'm like, you need to go back and read your Bible. There's two different kinds. There's a sinner that don't want to admit he's a sinner. There's a sinner that says, hey, I'm a sinner in need of God's grace. Amen. It's the two different things you see. But as we go through this morning, not only dads, but I ask you others, just look at this scripture this morning. This is a challenging book in the Bible that I think we all can take away something here today. And not only take it away, but apply it to our lives and leave this place saying today, hey, we want to be who God called us to be. Is that not kind of our prayer every day that we should, God, use me today. I want to be who you want me to be. Separate me out, use me in a way that impacts somebody's life. It says this in the book of Psalms chapter 1, verse number 1. It says, blessed the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the company of mourners. But those who delight in the laws of the Lord, he said, meditates on his law day and night. Verse 3, it says, the person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in season. He says, and whose leaf is not withered. He says, whatever they do prospers. In verse 4, it says, not so wicked that they're like chaff or blown away. It says, therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Verse 6, it says, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the wicked leads to destruction. First thing we see this morning as we talk about being godly fathers, a godly father lives by God's authority. A godly father lives by God's authority. Just like when I was at home, I had limited authority in my dad. I had a curfew at times to be here, I had to do this, I had responsibilities. I think when we live under the authority of God, we're going to see what responsibilities that we have. And things we do. We're truly following God's authority. And we're following those ways we have these things. Look what he said very first. He says, you know what? He said, who does not walk in step with the wicked. I want to tell you, the pace of the world today tells you not to walk in step with God, but to walk in step with the world. And a lot of way in the world today, it says, hey, you got to go at this speed or you're going to be left behind. And all these things you see today, listen, can I tell you this? You get nothing else I say to walk in pace with God. Don't try to get ahead of him. Don't lag behind. Just walk in pace with him. Listen, because he's going to put us at a pace that we can do, that we can get there. And I think that's very valuable for us when we think about the authority of God. He goes on, he says, the Lord, he understands in the way that sinners take and sit come to the markers. So, listen, verse 2, is when we think about the authority of God, look what it says. He said, but those who delight in the law of the Lord. How do you do that? How do we delight in the law of the Lord? He said, who meditates on his law day and night. Let me tell you something. What's your focus as a believer? I was sitting there this weekend. I was sitting in that auditorium, and I thought, you know what? There's different speakers up there that don't really catch your attention. And I thought, and don't throw something at me, because this is kind of, I thought, you know, this person was not a very good speaker. I thought, what's this? Is this what my church thinks on Sunday? I'll check and see if y'all asleep already. But you think about it. We think about what catches our attention and what we mediate, what we kind of focus on and all. Listen, here's the thing as a Christian that number one should be our focus. It should be God. As a Christian and as a believer and as a father, as a servant of Christ, our focus should be God. We should say, hey, God, you know, hey, what is it today I need to focus on? How many that can get unfocused pretty easy? Let's be honest in this place this morning. I mean, dude, I can be on my wife. She's not here today. She's probably listening, so I'll deal with this later. She'd be focused on five things at one time. She'll be doing one thing, start another thing, then you do this, she starts another thing, and I'm like, would you just finish one thing already? But sometimes we get our focus off. Sometimes we kind of do that. I mean, if we be honest, can we not do that with God sometimes? Then we start out focused and we're like, all right, man, I'm going good, scripture's coming in, and I'm feeling where I need to be, and the next thing you know, I'm gone. I've gone almost focused. I'm like, well, and I was doing good for about 30 seconds there. See, think about what it says in mediate. He says, day and night, focus on what God's doing. Listen, if you're going to live by the authority of God, then you're going to need to know God. And not just know a little bit. I think we need to dive into God's Word and know what God says us to do as guys, how we should lead, how we should love, how we should forgive. And that's one of the hardest things as a guy will ever do, is to forgive somebody. A lady said something this week. I really wanted to charge the stage, but I didn't. I refrained myself. She said, you know what? She said, you can forgive, but you... And she said, you don't truly get forgiveness until you forget. And I told her, I wanted to say, listen, you can forgive without forgiveness. Forget it, because this is always going to be there. The only person I know in today's time who can forgive is Jesus Christ. And he says, you know what? Give me your sins, and I remember them. It's hard for us here. We can give forgiveness, church. Hear my heart this morning. This is for every one of us. We can forgive somebody. You know what? And God will help us get past that. But you know what's still there? Why does it not go away? Because Satan doesn't want it to go away, does he? He wants to bring that back up. Like, oh, yeah, we'll bring that back up. Why? Because it's something that he can get the divide between you and Christ. Is that forgiveness? So we think about the authority of God and what it means to you and I, how we apply those things and how we live by them. Listen, Psalm 17, verse 4 says this. It said, I have followed your commands, which keep me from falling cruelly. Whose commands? I'm going to tell you what, if you'll follow the world, it'll lead you places you've never been and places you don't need to be. And I'm going to tell you, church, hear my heart this morning. None of us were exempt from not doing that. A lot of people say, oh man, no. Let me be honest with you. We can get caught up in that. You can read your Bible this morning, you can go to work, and next thing you know, went a 90-degree turn. Listen, but you got to know something about God's authority to know where you've been and how to come back. When you think about what that means to our life this morning, also, we see in Psalm 25:5, it says, guide me in your truth and teach me. How many would admit they learn something a lot of times when you think you know it all? Nobody raised their hand, huh? Most people in today's time that I come in, they think they already know everything, right? They don't need it. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm 43. I learned something all the time. I learned new ways of doing stuff. And I was working on a belt the other day on a lawnmower, and I scratched up every one of my hands and tore it up. But you know what? I finally laid down under and realized it's got a little release under it. We popped up my jaw. It works great. Y'all laughing because y'all been there. I thought it would be more challenging to stick my hand down to a little hole that I could get and pull with all I got. to pull that belt tension around, but you know, somebody was a lot smarter than I was. They put a thing, you put a ratchet in, and you twist it. Oh, it works a lot. If I could have found that guy during my night hand there, I'd ask him why didn't he put an air in there for dummies like me, right? Some of y'all laughing, y'all dad's laughing because y'all tried that. One honest guy here besides me, so that's good. The rest of you guys, I expect y'all see him for all of here this morning. We see what it is this morning, church. And listen, just when we think about the longing of God's authority, listen, it's a question that's fair for all of us to ask ourselves this morning. Whose authority are we living by? Whose authority have you given your life to? And who are you living by? Who are you trying to represent when you're out in society? Whose life are you wanting to share? By what authority are you sharing God's love? And you think about what that means in your life here today. Listen, the second thing is this. A godly father is a provider for his family. Listen, if you look at verses 3 and 4, when you think about being a provider for God's family. I do marriage counseling when I do a wedding, and it's always like this, and I always look at the guys. If you've ever been through one of my little ways here today, but I'll look at the guy, Mr. Gary, this is serious as everything. This is early in marriage counseling because I really want to see if they're going to go through with this. I'll look at that guy and I'll say, hey, dude, where do you work at? And I'm not being nosy. I just want to look at him and say, hey, man, where do you work at? And they'll say, well, I'm working here now. But I look at him and I say, listen, you've got to work wherever it takes to provide. And I look him right now and I say, listen, because that is your job. He said, well, you know, I'm trying to get on over here. That's fine. But at the end of the day, you know, one day you're going to bring kids into this family, hopefully, and what God wants you to do. And I said, you're the provider for them. You're the one that needs to be going out and getting a job. And I said, even though you have to go work somewhere that you don't really like working, if you're going to make this union work, then you're going to have to be a provider. You're going to make it work. And I get some real, real long staring looks. Listen, guys, I know sometimes my wife, she makes more than I do, and I'm fine with that. That's the profession she chose. I'm good with it. I don't have a problem with that. But listen, guys, hear my heart. If you're physically ill, you need to be working today. You need to work, and this is not pointing fingers at anybody. Listen, that's my Christian duty that God told me to do, to provide for my family. That's what he told me to do. I got to be a provider. And I'm thankful I had parents that taught me at a young age how to pay my stuff when I wanted a truck and stuff like that. It taught me values of life to be a provider, that it takes work to get things done. So we see today it talks about being a provider. Listen to what it says in verse 3. You will be a provider. The first thing you want to be rooted and grounded in God's word. And I love what it said in that scripture, guys. Let's what it says. I'm going to read it again. It says, where it says in verse 3, it says, a person is like a tree planted by the streams of water. I thought about this week. Man, I hope my family sees me as an oak tree. Why? Oak tree has what? Deep. But sometimes I think I'm a Bradford Berry. Anybody know what one of those things look like? Okay. Does anybody have to do that with their spouse? And that's not a bad thing. You look at them and say, listen, honey, we need to talk. I don't think you're okay. Be a spiritual leader in that family. Don't go around saying, I think she's all right or my kids are all right. I've set my kids down before and said, listen, we need to talk. That's your job, Steph. It's your job to sit them down and say, hey, man, I love you. We need to talk about this. Everything I've ever done in the ministry, we do what we call family meetings. Any of them have those? If I say we're having a family meeting, my kids scatter like a company court. Because they know it's got something big that we need to talk about. Why? Because I want my kids to know. I want my kids to know what we're going through as a family. We've had those. We've got a lot of things going on with my family now. You know what? My kids know that. I don't hide anything from my kids. It's my job as a dad to keep my family connected, even though it's hard. Things I don't understand sometimes. I don't understand sometimes, I'll be honest, even as a pastor, why we face things that happen such right on top of one another. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I'll say, God, why can't we just spread these out a little? Listen, church, second thing, you on the way here today, you realize this. He'll never put more on you than he can take. He's going to be with you through all the ways that you think about living and being a provider, being rooted and grounded in this. Listen, verse 4 says this, and he says this, it says, like chaff the wind blows away. Listen, don't be one of those dads. Get yourself in a spot where you can't handle it. Guys, I want you to look around this room this morning. I know you don't know a lot of these people here, maybe. But there's a lot of these dads that have been through some pretty tough things. And there's some dads in this room here who will be glad to sit with you and talk with you. Sometimes we need that, don't we? It's not always being easy being a dad, is it? Everyone understood my dad. He's here today. He disciplined us. And he said, this hurts me more than it does you. Did anybody understand that as a kid? I thought, my dad is the craziest guy that I've ever met. But you know what? I understand that today. I understand that as a dad today, how much it hurts to discipline your kids. But I know in a fact that I'm getting them in the way they need to be. So you think about being rooted and grounded and being provided. Listen, Jeremiah 17:7-8 says this. It says, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Verse 8, it says, will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out the roots by streams. It said, and it does not, it's fear. When heat comes, its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought. It never fails to bear fruit. Yeah, some of this morning, your life line up with that scripture. That's a challenge. That's a challenge for all of us today to see where we're rooted and grounded at. See, being rooted in God's word is something we need to do if we're going to be provided for God, for our people, and our family. Listen, Genesis 39:34 says this. It says, when his master saw the Lord was with him, the Lord gave him success in everything he did. Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household and entrusted him with his care and everything he owned. Listen, I want to tell you about the scripture there. God entrusted us with our kids and grandkids. He put them in a spot for us to be the blessings that we see. I remember holding my nephew Garrett, and then just went along, Shelly and I had Shelby. But listen, when you hold your child, is that not a game changer? First, I didn't know how to hold one, right? It's different holding somebody else's than you get your own. You're like, you think about when you give your life to Christ, who held you? Who still holds you today? He didn't put you down, did he? Listen, guys, he entrusts us with so much. He entrusts us with life. He entrusts us with little ones. Listen, and the third thing is this. It's found in verses 5 and 6. A godly father has his family prepared spiritually. I can tell you when both of my kids received Christ, I pray with Shelby at the old Green's Furniture Building. And as a dad, I asked her all those hard questions. And I said, well, we'll talk about it when we get home. You know what she said? We need to talk about it now. So sitting right there at Green's on those long rental recliners, I talked to my daughter, and we prayed that she received Jesus. See, church, not to share that, to say that about my kids. Listen, people think you only receive Jesus when you're sitting in here. It doesn't matter where you're at. When the Spirit's chasing you, and the Spirit's saying, hey, come on, man, it's a draw. It needs to be taken care of. Amen. But if we're going to do that, we want the Spirit to get our kids ready and let them know and say, listen, God loves you. I love you. But without a relationship one day, you can't go to where God's at. Gotta be truthful with the word. And look what it says in that verse. It starts verse 5. It says, therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment. Listen, if you don't know Jesus, you're going to hear, depart from me, you work iniquity. I never knew who. Listen, that's our kids to the oldest person here that needs accountability, that knows the right from wrong, knows what sin is and all those things. All those in between, if they don't know Jesus, they're going to stand before him, church, and they're going to be departed for work. I never knew you. I don't know of one dad that would want to hear that about any of their loved ones. And he goes on and he says, listen, no sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Listen, verse 6 is where we want to get to this morning just for a moment. Listen, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. I want to tell you something this morning, Dad. When you and I go and we do the things, we have someone who watches over us. Let me tell everyone here this morning, you as a Christian, you have someone who watches over you. You think about that today as you go through, as you find the challenges of life. John 10:14 says this. He says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. I've shared the story with you before. It's very appropriate this morning. We used to have a lot of sheep at the house. And listen, I could walk towards the barn, and they would all come running. Why? Because I was the one who fed them. They would come running into the barn. They knew where to go. Listen, if we're going to live by God's authority and we're going to be providers, then we're going to have to know who provides for us. And then we're going to have to share that with our family. I want to tell you, my kids and probably your kids, they probably don't share everything. But if they trust you enough, they'll share a lot with you. Why? Because they entrust you. Because they know what authority you live by. And they know how you provide for them. And they know where you stand with Christ. Just a couple more things this morning, and I promise I'm about to. Listen, Psalms 9:7-8 says this. It says, the Lord reigns forever. He establishes the throne of judgment. He rules in the world of righteousness, and he judges the people. Listen, we teach our families the path of life we go. And I don't know a dad that I had to talk to said, I wish I could go everywhere my kid goes. Let me tell you something, you do. If you've done these things that God wants you to do, part of you goes everywhere your kid goes. But let me tell you something. One or two parts gone. Because they're learning something from you. Is it the good part? Or the bad part? Because here's my heart this morning. One part's gone. And I pray this morning that it is the God's authority part that's going with your child. We're all leading them down some path in this life. Three questions I have asked for you this morning, then I've got to close in scripture here today. Listen, it says this. First question I have for you today. Are you living your life by God's authority? Are you living how you treat others and the people around you by God's authority? And listen, the second question I have. Are you providing for your family? Are Are you providing what they need physically and spiritually? Are you doing that? And the third question is this morning, churches, as we about to get ready to close here, it says, are you leading your family in the godly direction? And in a minute, we're going to pray. I want you to ask yourself, am I leading my kids? Am I leading my grandkids? Am I leading my neighbors? Am I leading them in a godly direction? Closing scripture is this, 2 Timothy 2:19. I want you to let this sink in on you today. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm. Whose foundation? Dad, you got to build a good foundation. And another thing, it says, sealed with the inscription, the Lord knows who are His. And then he goes on again, he says, everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. He asks you this morning, dads, are you living by the authority of God? Are you being a provider? And have you got your families prepared? Have you sat down and know where your kids are going to spend eternity? Grandfathers, do you know where your grandkids? Do you know where the ones in life that you love and you treat like your own? Do you know where they're going to spend eternity? Are you at peace with that today? Listen, it's part of our jobs. Why? Because we're living by God's authority. And provided, we know the Word. We've got a church. And we've got somebody that goes with us everywhere we go. Let's pray together. Father, we just... Father, I think about this message here today. And I think about the last part of verse 6. Lord, you said the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Now, Father, I know this is Father's Day 2021. We come and celebrate fathers. We come to celebrate you today, Lord. But Father, I pray that you challenge all the dads' lives, the dads at heart, and just every life in this place today. Father, that we challenge ourselves, we look at ourselves today, and we ask ourselves, are we living our lives by the authority of God? Are we watching over the things we do today? God, you're so good. You're so blessed to have this opportunity today. Father, I pray that we take something away from here today as we reflect a minute of a moment of invitation. Lord, you just speak to our hearts as we take a minute. Father, just focus on what you want to speak to our heart today. Lord, I love you today. I thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. To open up your word. Sing songs. One song that just made a big impact in my life. Actually, two, Jesus Paid It All. And let me tell you about my Jesus. Have you done that today, dads? Does your family know that you love Jesus and you're that leader? Man, he is a God who works here. To him we pray. Amen. Amen. We'll stand together this morning. We're going to do our invitation a little bit.